This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasuthi. In our health and living segment today, we're going to be discussing smoking cessation. It is not May 31st. It is World Anti-Tobacco Day or Smoking Cessation Day, but it's not. But I suppose it's never a good time, always a good time to actually talk about quitting the habit of smoking. Joyce Hugh, a clinical hypnotherapist, and Vivek Shashindran in the studio with me. Vivek has actually tried hypnotherapy to actually to kick the habit, and he's here to share that journey with us. Welcome to the show. How are both of you today?
Very good.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Why is it so difficult to stop smoking? I mean, Shashi, Vivek, how long have you been smoking, and when did you decide that you wanted to do something about it?
So I've been smoking since I was 16. That's exactly half my life now, and I wanted to do something about it when I had my first kid. That was 29, when I was 29. And actually before that, I did try stopping a couple of times, because I was a sportsman in school, and smoking really affected a lot of things for me, stamina-wise. So I did try, and I think easily about 7 times to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. And it never surpassed a month. And so that was how tough it was for me.
Can I ask what got you smoking in the first place?
Okay, it's a very interesting question. I think during teenage days, it was more of a...
Very cool.
Very cool, hip.
With the guys.
The girls like the bad boys,
You could have played the guitar or try playing the drums, for an example.
Well, yeah, I guess...
Pretend to jam. The girls love it.
I guess if I had that advice, then maybe things would be much different now.
Okay. Joyce, why is it so hard? I mean, as a hypnotherapist, I'm sure you have worked with a lot of people to try and kick this habit. Why is it so difficult?
It's considered an addiction because smoking, it gives you that nicotine hit and it goes straight to your brain. Sometimes it'll give you that feel-good factor, gives you a bit of energy boost, it elevates your mood, and so, of course, it makes you feel nice and fuzzy inside, so you take it. Mm-hmm. But that's only a temporary fix. So after that, the effects go away, your body starts to go into withdrawal symptoms. Then you want another stick to keep that feeling up. So then it goes one whole cycle. The dependency comes in that way.
Okay. And you help people out with hypnotherapy to try and kick the habit.
Yep. Yes.
How do you do that? And what's happening during hypnotherapy that addresses that addiction?
Because in hypnotherapy, if you come for a session, that means you are already willing to do hypnotherapy to make that change. So that it's easier for us to convince your subconscious mind to make that change, because I know consciously you want to quit. You know that, it's bad for your health, it's expensive, it's not good for my kids and things like that. But in the subconscious mind, that feel-good factor is just too strong sometimes. So when you come in, I'm going to speak with your subconscious mind to convince your subconscious mind to tell your mind and your body that you are going to quit. You're going to change for good. So it won't give you excuses. It won't make funny reasons for you to pick up that next step.
Okay, sounds very easy. Vivek, you've tried it. I'm sure it's not as easy as it sounds.
To be very honest with you, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. I've tried it many, many times before I went for hypnotherapy, and it was really... tough.
Okay. And so when you decided on hypnotherapy, what was that journey like?
All right. So actually, it came to me by accident, because I was actually told about hypnotherapy by a friend. And
What was your first reaction when somebody said hypnotherapy to you? Did you think of, all this hocus pocus, dangling a chain in front of you, you're looking at it going left, right, and then... going into another world, that kind of thing, right?
Actually, the movies really paint a totally different picture for you.
It does, absolutely, yeah.
So actually, when I was told about it, I was not convinced that it was going to help me. But because it was a good friend, and he said, just give it a try, So I said, okay, fine, I've tried everything. I've tried gums, I've tried patches, I've tried cold turkey. I don't think there's any other thing that I've not tried. So I said, okay, fine, just one last shot. And so I went for the session. And to be honest, during the session as well, I was thinking, are you sure this is going to work? And
skeptic, lah.
Yeah, I was very skeptical. And I left the session thinking that I really don't know if this is going to work. But, okay, let's just see what happens. And honestly, I did not have any cravings or any relapses for a very long time. 6 months, to be precise. Mm. And it was a medical thing that got me back onto smoking.
We'll come to that in just a short while. But what were the classes like for you? I mean, what did you go in? You go into a class, and then what happened?
So the therapist will, of course, she does her thing or his thing. And so it's just like the movies. They make you lie down and they start talking to you. But honestly, I cannot remember, if you ask me, because I've recommended a couple of friends after that. None of us can remember what happened. Of course, at that time, we fully feel like we are aware. Mm-hmm. But after that, we don't remember.
What are you doing, Joyce? Really? And the significance of the language, obviously. Mm-hmm. Something is going on, right?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So basically, about the part that you don't remember, I would think that you are fully conscious at that time, right? It's just that because it's such a natural thing. It's the words that we use every day. But right now, what we're doing is we're speaking straight to your subconscious. It bypasses the conscious mind. So it's the things that you really want. And your subconscious mind actually protects you. So it will reject things that you don't want to reject. So let's say Vivek wants to quit, and if I were to say things to him that convinces him to do it, give him reasons why he wants to quit, he will do it. But if I'm saying you want to quit for something else or someone else, the mind would not accept that.
But he was a skeptic.
Mm.
So how does that affect how effective hypnotherapy would be?
Mm. It's all about words, because what we want is the intention, Vivek's own intentions. So let's say he wants to quit because of health reasons. Oh, sorry, you said the kids, right? You want to quit because of the kids. So that's his main intention. But in our subconscious mind, that's the one that controls our feelings, our behaviors, our cravings and all. So smoking does make us feel good. So consciously, no matter how hard you try, cold turkey and all, it's not going to change, because our mind controls our body. It controls our hand. It tells us to go and pick that up, light it, put it in your mouth. So it's kind of automatic in that sense. So what hypnotherapy does will be to convince him he already knows. So when I speak to the subconscious, it cannot fight back, because the analytical mind is asleep. Like what Vivek was mentioning, that nice sofa kind of thing puts you into that relaxed mode when you're in your theta level sleep. So you're so relaxed, conscious shuts down, and that's the time when I start talking to you.
And what happened after 6 months, Vivek?
So basically, I was having mouth ulcers, and I went to seek medical advice. But most of the doctors were telling me that it cannot be smoking cessation. It doesn't last more than a month usually. So I was having it for a full six months. The mistake I did was I did not go back to my hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. And I resolved to treat myself again by going back to the problem again. Mm-hmm. After a week of being on it, that's when I went back to my hypnotherapist. So I got my timelines a bit mixed up.
Sure. So the ulcers were a result of...
So today...
Nothing to do with the smoking.
It was because of the smoking, actually.
How?
I have no explanation, because I did law. I have no medical answers to that. I believe it has everything to do with smoking cessation.
Okay. That the fact that you quit.
Yes.
And then you went back after a week, and then you went back to see the hypnotherapist again.
I went to see the hypnotherapist.
You smoked again.
I smoked again, and the ulcers completely vanished.
Right.
So it definitely had a lot to do.
To do, okay. Yeah. So where are you now? How long has it been since you went back to the hypnotherapist?
Just a month.
So you're back doing sessions. Yeah. And how is it going?
It's going well, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Why were you unable to manage it on your own after the 6 months?
Okay. So I think maybe it has a lot to do with my scope of work. I run multiple businesses. So stress level is always very high. And at that point, I think you got to ask for help from the professionals, you know. Because for us, we always find the easy way out to deal with our problems.
Yeah.
And the easiest is just to go back to what you feel helps you.
Of course. And yeah. So relapses, I'm sure, is very common,
yeah.
Joyce. How do you then make sure that, you know...
That's actually quite a common issue. Because let's say stress. When stress comes, we go back to what we are used to doing to reduce stress, which is smoking. So a lot of people, they take away something, but they don't replace it. So there's a void in your mind. And if there's a void, naturally, the next most convenient thing comes in, which would be something not so good, like maybe smoking, maybe eating, maybe other kinds of addiction. So that's why what would be good is if you replace smoking habit with something else that's more productive.
Such as?
Say, exercise. Say, drinking more plain water. Say, eating an apple, for example. I personally like asking them to do something with their hands. So it gives them something to fiddle with.
Like a fidget spinner.
Yeah. So,
gosh, for the first time, it's come into good use. And not for the children this time.
Yeah, it's very useful for adults, for anxiety, for stress and all. So at least there's something to do with the hands. So the hand-mouth coordination part, at least there's something for them to do.
Okay. We have a question here for Vivek. Did you feel any specific changes within you after you completed the session, the 6 months?
After the 6 months, during that 6 months, to be very honest with you, as Joyce earlier said, that I replaced smoking with eating. So that was a mistake I did because I should have gone for... I only went for one session, to be honest, and it made me stop for 6 months.
Wow.
Just one session. And that was, I think, 45 minutes that made me stop for 6 months. And I was supposed to go back for a second session, which was my mistake. I was too caught up with work and I did not come back for the second session.
But how often should one come for sessions, Joyce?
For me, I normally do two sessions. Some people can do it in one. So it really depends on the person. But of course, I think sometimes if there's more reinforcement, just to make sure, then would be much better.
Okay, then we'll come back after this and find out beyond 6 months, beyond a year, beyond 2 years, how do you maintain it and not fall back into the habit? Yep. So we're discussing hypnotherapy and smoking cessation. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 0377 109000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 0187898899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sevisodhi. In our Health and Living segment, we're discussing smoking cessation. We're looking at hypnotherapy with Joyce Hugh, a clinical hypnotherapist, and Vivek Shashindran, someone who actually attempted hypnotherapy. I'm amazed, actually, just after one session, managed to kick the habit for about 6 months and then sort of relapsed. Joyce, before we went to the break, we were talking about how do we make sure that you don't fall back into this habit. What do you need to be aware of when you attempt hypnotherapy for smoking cessation?
I would say the interview is very important with the person. Number one, we only do it for those who want to quit because they themselves have the intention to quit. Lots of people, they come in and say, oh, I want to quit because my wife asked me to quit. That's not going to happen. They will probably quit for about like 2 weeks and they'll go back to it because it's not their own subconscious mind who wants it. Secondly, we need to check out what their stress levels is, because if, let's say, work is a bit too stressful or relationship issues, definitely they need something to depend on. If it's cigarettes, they will definitely relapse. If not, what we can do is replace it with something else. Like I was telling you earlier about exercise, drinking, pick up a new hobby. So something to give them focus.
You got to pick up a new hobby, Vivek. What is it? Have you decided?
So the
are you going to eat an apple?
So
I'm not going to eat an apple if I have to.
So what, an apple a day keeps the hypnotherapist
yes.
away?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And the tobacco.
Right. I when I went back for my last session a month ago, my hypnotherapist told me to manage my stress level first before we do our second session for me to quit smoking. And that's exactly what I was doing. And as what Joyce suggested earlier, my hypnotherapist also recommended a toy.
The fidget spinner.
It's not a spinner. It was more of an anxiety toy.
Whatever. It can be the stress ball. Yeah. It can be anything that works for you, isn't it?
So I carry one now around. So I have not just toys for my kids, I have toys for myself as well.
But you said intention is most important. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that intention is more important than the individual's understanding or approach to the therapy? Because Vivek did say he was a skeptic, right? Mm-hmm. So are you saying then that intention is more important than being a skeptic? I mean, as long as you know you want to quit, it will work. But it's okay if you're a skeptic.
Yeah. Because your mind, your analytical mind, would definitely ask a lot of questions, like what you guys were saying about how the media perceives it, how your friends will comment, what, you're going for hypnotherapy? Are you crazy or something? So definitely all these things comes into play. But deep down inside, that's what you want, because your mind can actually control so much more about you. One point I want to bring up about Vivek's ulcers, like you were saying, sometimes it could be just like your mind is telling you that I really need a fix, I really need something else, because there's no replacement. So that's why the body starts signaling. The body can't talk to you, right? So that's the only way that it can talk to you, through physical symptoms, through withdrawal symptoms, through pains and aches and all. So naturally, you will try to find something to do it. So smoking is the most convenient, because that's what you're used to. But unless you replace it with something else, playing sports, for example, then your mind will be occupied with something else. So there's another outlet for your stress. So then things will be easier.
And you kill two birds with one stone, really. Is everyone a suitable candidate for hypnotherapy? Or are there some people who shouldn't be, you know, using it as an option?
It depends on preferences as well. Some people, let's say with brain conditions or with psychosis and all, definitely not. So those we would recommend to psychiatrists to see a medical professional first. But let's say it's changing behaviours, changing feelings, your mindset and all, so then hypnotherapy will be okay.
Okay. There was a 2010 Cochrane review that found there was insufficient evidence to show that hypnotherapy could be effective as counselling treatment in smoking cessation. What were your thoughts on that?
You mean as compared to counselling?
Yes.
Okay. I would say that there are not that many trials out there as well, the study of hypnotherapy and how it helps. So comparatively, it's pretty hard for us to say. Counseling is a longer process, because I'm a counselor myself, and let's say I have an issue to deal with, it's going to take a much longer period. Hypnotherapy goes straight to the point. And then we will also ask, is it really hypnotherapy, or is it something else that helped you? So it's something very hard to prove, but as long as it works for you, why not, right?
Why not? Absolutely. Yeah. And there's also self-hypnosis. Were you taught that, Vivek?
So when I went back for the last session, the therapist did tell me how to self-hypnotize myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm practicing that at the moment, and that is helping me not with smoking, but with the other things that I'm trying to
deal with or cope with.
Yeah, before I completely try to give up.
Is it as easy as it sounds, self-hypnotizing?
Oh, it takes a lot of focus. It's not easy, no. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, it's not easy. Of course, you try to follow step by step what was taught to you. And I think after your first success, even though it's not completely, it's the only thing that helped me for 6 months. you tend to trust the therapist wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I don't think you give her there's no second choice to it. Mm-hmm. You have to give them the
benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So that means it's just not for smoking cessation. It can work for a whole lot of other
Definitely.
Lifestyle problems.
Habit changing.
Yeah.
Giving more motivation,
performance
eating. Issues.
Come
yeah.
on, we're all trying to lose weight. It's the same thing, am I correct?
Yeah, so that's how you just put suggestions in self-hypnosis. In fact, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis because the hypnotherapist is the facilitator. You are the one doing all the change.
Okay, and does it depend how many sessions for each person? Does that vary or is it pretty standard?
Pretty hard to say. It depends. Some people, they can get change done in like 2 or 3 sessions. Some people much longer. So intentions.
Okay. And what about heavy smokers and lighter smokers? Mm. Does that make a difference at all? Or does it go back to the intention again?
Goes back to intention. But I would say there's no difference because someone who smokes 2 sticks a day, for them, it might be heavy. Mm-hmm. But for us, or for general public, we might think it's just 2 sticks. So it really depends on what the patient perceives, what the client themselves thinks. Is it a lot for them? So that's why it's not for us to judge. It's really based on what they want.
What about success rate, Joyce? Mm. How do you measure success?
Mm.
And how successful do you think you've been as a hypnotherapist when it comes to smoking cessation?
I would say it's pretty good. I would give it above 90% because I screen my patients as well. Like I was telling you just now, if they really want to do it for themselves, then that's okay. Because that's already the number one thing for failure. So I would say go back, reevaluate, think about it. When you're really ready, come back. So another thing about that success is it's pretty hard to say because of environmental issues. Like Vivek was saying about stress and relationships. So that happens quite often in the sense that as soon as they quit, yours was very good, very impressive, 6 months. But a lot of them...
One session and six months. It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, you just needed to go for that one more session. It would have got
for
you
life.
Through. Yeah. That's all right, but you're back on it.
Yeah.
So that's a very good thing, I suppose.
Mm.
Is there a possibility where there can come a time where somebody like Vivek would no longer be receptive to dealing with his subconscious and smoking cessation? Is there such a thing at all?
No, because your subconscious is always there for you. It's the one that drives you, actually. So it's just like talking to your mind. It's just a normal conversation, telling you things that you already know, but this is just reinforcing what you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, the more hypnotherapy you do, the better it is.
How would you convince your other friends, Vivek, to give this a shot when it comes to smoking cessation without them having, you know, having this impression that, you know, you are into some kind of hocus-pocus kind of therapy?
See, for me, I don't know whether I should say this on radio, but I was a very heavy smoker. Every time of the day, I was smoking. For me to stop or after a session, to be honest, a lot of my friends were shocked. They were like, I never thought I would ever see you give up smoking, you know. You may doubt this, but I think you should give it a shot, especially if you have been trying. And a lot of people have tried different methods, you know. I have tried almost every method available out there. And hypnotherapy is the only one that actually did something for me. And about 2 months down the road, I recommended another friend of mine to the same therapist. And he too had the same experience as I did. So I don't think it's by luck or by chance. And he's a completely different individual with different way of life, different
right.
stress levels.
Mm.
So he himself as well successfully kicked the habit. You see, so I think for those of you who are trying, I think you should give it a shot. But only one advice I have is when I was looking for a hypnotherapist, I actually called many. And I think there should be a certain comfort level with that therapist, you know, because some of them were a bit gave me the very serious vibe, you know, like, oh, if you're not serious, please don't call me.
Mm-hmm. Hostile. Like,
it's a very hostile thing. And look, I'm looking for a solution. And if you you don't have that bond, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that you look for a therapist that is who understands that you're there to solve your problem and maybe take it from there.
How do you look for a certified hypnotherapist, Joyce? I mean, you have been trained at the LCCH, and you've got an American
certification
as well. So what do we look out for?
There's actually an association of hypnotherapists. It's called AHPM, Association of Hypnotherapy Practitioners of Malaysia. And in this association, there's a register of therapists. So these are the therapists that go through proper accreditation. They have insurance as well. They go through CPD points, the continuing professional development. So they're always learning, always up to date. Because I think Vivek will have experienced it as well. There are some out there who take like short courses, and they call themselves a healer or a hypnotherapist. So those are the ones that we need to be a little bit more careful about.
And did you go through any of that, Vivek?
I actually called a few before I actually finally decided. And so happened my friend recommended. Mm. So I thought it doesn't get any better than that. And I spoke to the therapist before I made an appointment. Mm. You, of course, can't ask them for their resume. But I think just from a phone conversation, you get to gauge whether the other person is sincere or he or she's just doing it for money, you know?
Okay. So comfort level is also very, very important.
Yeah, the trust and the rapport has to be there.
Absolutely. So would you have a message for us, Vivek, on all of us trying to kick the smoking habit through using hypnotherapy?
Well, for me, out there, all of you who are trying to stop smoking, I think you should just give it a try. I stopped after one session. Of course, I had my relapse, and that is also because I did not follow the program. My own stubbornness. But I guess if you follow the program, I believe you'd be very happy with the results. So you should give it a try.
For anyone who has concerns about, you know, the therapist taking over your mind and you know, so on and so forth, what do you have to say to that?
Nothing to be worried about that. Because during the session, I was fully aware. It's just that, as per what Joy said earlier, I think they speak to your subconscious mind. And I think that's why it's so effective. And I don't think that should be a concern, to be honest. Because movies, I think they paint a completely different picture for you.
Yeah, she's not going to make you murder anyone. It's just help you stop smoking. Mm. Joy is your message. Mm.
I would also agree, because if you want to, this is actually a more healthy way and the more natural way, because your body knows how to heal by itself. What it needs is just a little bit of reminder. If you think about it, people a long time ago, there were no medications. They didn't even know what smoking was. So your body actually knows how it feels to be healthy. So hypnotherapy will just help you reverse that, the damages that you've done or the influences that you had over time. So it's all about reconditioning yourself, telling yourself, convincing your mind and your body. That's very important, as in the withdrawal symptoms, how your body's going to cope. So it's communicating to all parts of you to make that change.
Okay, so my takeaway is the intention has to be there, that you really want to quit smoking, to comfort levels with your therapist, and go through the association. What's it called again, Joyce?
Association of Hypnotherapy Practitioners Malaysia.
All right, and get them, make sure they're certified before you actually approach them. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joyce Hugh,
a clinical hypnotherapist, and Vivek Shashindran, someone who's actually tried hypnotherapy to quit smoking. Well, you're going to, aren't you? Absolutely.
Second session.
On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.